This regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council is called to order at 6:00 PM on Tuesday, June 9, 2022. Councilman Looby, can you please read the mission statement?
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
I make a motion for appointment for a pro tem.
I'll second.
Darian, no, I mean, you didn't say bottom, motion by.
I make a motion for appointment for pro tem, Councilman Tungle.
I'll second that.
Without objection, I'll be the mayor pro tem. Madam Clerk, can we have a roll call, please?
Certainly. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Looby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Mr. Tudikoff?
Here.
We have a quorum. Can you please stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, Councilman?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on the agenda is the recognitions of visitors. We got Amy Stanford, our new HR manager. I think this is her first time to join us at the City Council chambers. And first time I met her today too. So, Ms. Amy Stanford. Anybody else? Okay. Now I need the, may I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda?
I'll move to adopt the agenda.
I'll second.
Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. Approve the minutes of previous meeting, 7/26/2022. May I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the July 26th meeting?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the July 26th meeting.
Second.
Any objection? Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Number seven, next on the agenda is the reports. We got a couple. First one is the financial June  2022 report. I'll turn it over to the city manager.
Well, I'm going to speak to this since I'm sitting here instead of Mr. Laddick, and I'll keep it brief. We do have Clay, our finance director, on the line for any additional questions. Basically, as you look, this is almost the year end. June is the last month of the fiscal year. If you look at our revenues, they most, on all of the accounts seem to exceed our budgets, and our expenditures seem like they've come in below what we budgeted in general. And I think that looks like a good thing. If you have any specific questions about that, I will turn that over to Clay.
Councilman Coleman?
Thank you. Love the graphs. Appreciate that. I know, so the comment made that fair amount was under budget for the departments are, and I'm wondering, like, I know we are really, the comments are made that we're really short-staffed a lot of our departments. I'm wondering how much that really did affect this year's budget numbers. Is it, would that play a significant part in being under budget?
Clay, are you there to answer that? I mean, I'm not sure if I'm looking at just the personnel or expenses or if they're all the 1,000 accounts or within the line items. So I defer that to Clay.
Yes, I am here. Thank you, Bill. And we can look into that and get back with you. The reports don't specifically set out the salary and wages or the compensation. So we can take a look at that and get back to you.
Thank you. I would like to know that because I know that we are, we've been, this whole year has been, our staff has been really down. So I'd like to know how much that really has played a part in our total outcome. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Anybody else have a question, Mr. Darnell? Thank you, Mr. Darnell. Next is our city manager's report. I'll turn it over to the city manager.
Chris, are you going to lead off with this, or would you like me to?
I'm here, and does anybody have any? I don't have anything new to add. I texted Frank Kelty on if there was any update on Aleutian Air, but I haven't heard back from him. But does anybody have any questions on what I wrote in my report? We're the mayor and I are in Sitka for the summer AML meeting.
Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. So this is not in the report, but I was just wondering what the source was for the recent city outage that we had, or I'm not sure if citywide, but it was definitely affected my area. So I was wondering if I could have a explanation for that, please.
Your question is what caused an outage?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chris, I'm here.
Are you talking about the brief one the other day, Councilman? Okay.
Wait, there were more than one?
It's actually been a long time, but if you're talking about the one within the last couple weeks. The one last week?
Yes. It was brief, but it was, I know it was this side for sure.
Yeah. I would like to celebrate that outage. I have a different look at it. But there's a ECU connector. It's a pin connector to number 13. It's one of our big cats. And it had vibrated loose. And in 6 minutes, my very green, very understaffed powered powerhouse identified the problem and reconnected it and started restoring power. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful outage.
Well, I appreciate that, but, you know, when we're trying to sell power, that just, you know, when these things happen, I know that you guys are making every effort to keep it on, but it just seems like it's a lot. I do recall when Mr. Winters was up here and he had some statistics for us about how few outages we actually have compared to the rest of the nation. And I'm wondering, I'm not asking you to speak for him, but I'm just saying, we seem to have a lot of outages. Brief as they are, it disrupts power and supply to our customers. And when we're trying to get people to buy power from us in the long term, it's just tough. And I know everybody works hard. I'm just saying that every time these come up, it's a concern.
Yes. I can speak to that because I compiled all our outages for the geothermal economic impact study. And so I looked at the last, I think, 3 or 4 years of outages, maybe 5 years of outages. And so I have all those statistics, actually. I can make them available to you. But I know the lower 48 averages about 8 hours a year of outages in the general, generally in the lower 48. We're some years we're under, some years we're over, but we're certainly compared favorable to the lower 48.
And does that statistic, does that include natural disasters? Because, I mean, ours were not related to natural disasters. I know a lot of them are. So, yeah, I mean, that if statistical thing, is that including, you know, those things which are beyond man's?
Well, Councilman Coleman, if you look outside your window tomorrow, it's going to be blowing 60. A lot of people would consider that a natural disaster. And I contend that we have a natural disaster an inordinate a number of times per year. And our power is extraordinary.
I'm not going to debate this here, but thank you for that. I just thank you for the information on the outage. Appreciate that.
6 minutes. Fantastic.
Any other question to the city manager's report? Hearing none, we'll go to the next item. Item number 8, community input and announcement. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to council or make announcement of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Everyone get 3 minutes, and council will not engage in a dialogue. Does anyone present wish to speak?
Oh, boy. Happy to be here. Thank you. Roger Blakely, Director of Parks and Recreation. Just want to give you a couple announcements. The Heart of the Aleutians Festival is Saturday, August 20th. It'll be from 12 to 6. We want you all to come. We're hoping on a very good day, and we want everybody to come and celebrate with us. And then at 2 o'clock on that day in that festival, we're having the historic lip sync contest. So if you know a song and you want to lip sync it, come on and be part of it. It'll be exciting. The other announcement I want to make is that on August 27th, we have the Bunker Hill Endurance Challenge. And the Bunker Hill Endurance Challenge is 13 laps up to the top of the mountain and back. And if you do that, that's 26.2 miles marathon. But you can do as many as you want. Last year I did 3. This year with my new knee, I'm hoping to do 1. But I'm going to try. And so come on out. It's fun. It's a good day. And we're looking for a good race. It was fun last year, and I hope you all come this year too. With that, I'm done. Thanks. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. One more. September 2nd through the 16th is the 7th annual Silver Salmon Derby. Come and catch a silver salmon. Bring it up. We do not want you to put lead in the silver salmon. We do not want you to put ice in the silver salmon's mouth. We want you to bring a silver salmon that you've caught by a hook and bring it to PCR and weigh it. And there are prizes for everybody that does that. $1,000 is the top prize. So please go out and fish and have fun, and then bring your salmon to the derby before the weigh-in. Thank you.
Anyone else need to speak?
I do, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. I have some clerk's announcement for everyone. Let me pull that one up. So Tuesday, August 16th is the state primary and special election. In-person voting is happening now at City Hall. In-person voting for the state primary and special election will be on August 16th from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Early and absentee voting is ongoing now and is available at the clerk's office at City Hall during normal business hours through August 15. Folks would need to bring their ID, and there's an additional paperwork to fill out. If a voter is already out of town and wants a ballot sent to them, they can contact the state, the Division of Elections, to request a ballot to send to them. And you can do so by going to elections.alaska.gov. On Monday, August 22nd, the first half of the city property tax payments are due. Please pay no later than August 22nd to avoid 10% penalty and interest. And also happening on August 22nd, that's the deadline to declare candidacy for mayor, council seats C and D, and school board seats C and D. And on October 4, Tuesday, that will be our local election. And so folks who wanted to vote for our local election must be registered to vote no later than September 4. And they can register online at voterregistration.alaska.gov, or they can stop by at City Clerk's office to register to vote. And then you may also check your voter registration status at myvoterinformation.alaska.gov. That's all I have.
Is there any written comments submitted? Or does anyone on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
No, sir. And no one on Zoom raised their hand or indicated that they wanted to.
Okay. We'll go to the next item. Next item is a public comment on agenda items. This is the time for a member of the public to provide information to council regarding items on the agenda if they don't want to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the clerk. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Everyone get 3 minutes, and council will not engage in a dialogue. Does anyone present wish to speak? City Clerk, were there any written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or on the phone wish to speak?
No one submitted anything for to be read this afternoon, Mayor, and no one indicated in Zoom as well.
Okay. Public comments now closed. Next item, item number 10. Public hearing. Members of the public may testify about any items set for public hearing, and there is 3 minutes time limit per person. Please come to the podium and state your name. I will separately open and choose a public hearing on its item. There's four items on the public hearing. First item is a public hearing for Ordinance 2022-12. Approving a zoning amendment from holding zone to marine development industrial on lot 2, USS 8449, LFS Captain's Bay, is now open. Does anyone present and wish to speak? Hearing none, City Clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or on the phone wish to speak?
No, sir.
The public hearing for Ordinance 2022-12 is now closed. Second one is the public hearing for Ordinance 2022-13, approving a zoning amendment for the unzoned tidelands to develop tideland district for 1.156 acres adjacent to Track A, ATS 1360 Tidelands area is now open. Does anyone present and wish to speak? Hearing none, City Clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or the phone wish to speak?
No, sir. No one indicated that they wanted to speak.
The public hearing for Ordinance 2022-13 is now closed. Third one is the public hearing for Ordinance 2022-14, creating budget amendment number 1 to the fiscal year 2023 budget, appropriating $647,220 from the general fund for an increase to the public library improvements projects now open. Does anyone present wish to speak? Hearing none, City Clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
We didn't receive any written comments, or and no one indicated that they wanted to say something, Mayor.
Public hearing 2022-14 is now closed. The fourth one is the public hearing ordinance 2022-15, authorizing the city manager to dispose of personal property, especially a 1997 Pearl Saver aerial apparatus, to an Alaska Municipal Corporation or agency thereof, is now open. Does anyone present and wish to speak? Hearing none, City Clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or on the phone wish to speak?
No, sir.
Public hearing 2022-15 is now closed. Next on the agenda is a work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into a work session?
I make a motion to go into work session.
Second.
We are now in a work session. We got one item on the work session. A review EPA Region 10 FY22 Brownfields Assessment Cooperative Agreement Work Plan. Mr. City Manager, can you introduce?
Certainly. I know it says Bill Homka is going to present, but Thomas Rufus, my associate planner in planning, is predominantly the staff person that's working on this project. I think some of you probably have already heard the city of Alaska was the only municipality or jurisdiction in the state of Alaska to win a brownfields assessment grant for $500,000. That's a four-year grant period. There's a lot of work to be done on that, a lot of coordinating, working with partners. And Thomas will be here to give you a brief update on what that plan is. So, Thomas.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, Mayor Pro Tem. Tonight we're discussing the 2022 Brownfields Work Plan Agreement. This is the first step in our process after getting the initial award letter from the EPA. They sent us the initial award letter, and that basically invites us to the second round of their approval process. So at this point, what this does is it basically fleshes out the initial application and digs deeper into the sites that we gave them in order to kind of paint the picture of having brownfields within our community that require attention. The sites that are inside this program, to be clear about that, they're not set in stone. There's still a lot of work to do going forward. There's still a lot of different partners that we need to discuss these sites with. And we will be doing that with our consultants, but we will also be doing that with the general community. This is more than just a city project. This is for our entire community to work towards and work forwards on. So I want to give a quick kind of summary of the target areas that we've identified for the EPA and go a little bit further from there. The first being Pyramid Valley. That is a large area of untapped potential for housing in our community. We know that there's a fair amount of World War II ruin up in there, in that area, and we see the potential for growth. That's going to be a major area for us, and we're hoping that we can entice the EPA with that as an area for cleanup and redevelopment. Secondly, we focused on Strawberry Hill. That is another major area that is open and available for development. Again, these are OC properties that we would be working with them But there, within those areas, there are sites that are identified by the State Department of Environmental, ADC, and they're interested in a few of them, specifically Tony Service Center and Strawberry Hills Landfill. Again, we will be discussing with the community and looking into what we can do with those sites, what we can do with other areas in order to be able to open up that land and make it more attractive for development as well. Further goals, we have two more additional goals, one being assessment of World War II housing. We know that we have a very old housing stock in this community, and we're looking for ways that we can rejuvenate and we can hopefully help landowners deal with the potential of various nasty things such as lead paint, asbestos, the kind of nasties that might be hanging out inside their older housing that would have been normal construction materials at the time, but we have now since identified as unhealthy. Additionally, the potential for mold and mildew having crept in and providing health impacts on the residents of our community. That is a situation where we would be looking into homes and creating a program or a plan forward for a program in the future to be able to do an abatement process or to offer an abatement services through one of the many environmental communities companies that might be out there. Our fourth goal then being an assessment of Illooliak and Illooliak Lakes. If you go back into Illooliak Lake and you go back to a bunch of old like council meetings and planning commission meeting minutes, the stories that are inside of those minutes about how it used to be used as a latrine and then it was used as a reservoir for drinking and in that order, it's marginally terrifying. So we want to be able to kind of go and identify, are these stories true? Is there contamination there? Similarly, for Illooliak Lake or the Unalaska Lake in town, there are historic anecdotes of the military having driven Jeeps and old equipment and old barrels of trash and whatnot out onto it when it was iced over, and then letting it thaw in the winter and letting it thaw in the summer and letting it all just kind of fall into the lake. So we want to identify if those are in fact true, and we want to try and see if, what programs might be available in order to sustain our local fish stock and our local water resources there that are culturally and environmentally sensitive to our community. And then finally, our last priority goal is going to be reassessing the ADEC inventory of sites. And if there's anything left over, we will continue to do those prioritizations. So this is the overall picture that we provided to the EPA for the initial grant application. And with our consultants, we did flesh that out into some developables deliverables. There's going to be site-specific phase one and phase twos, some cleanup and reuses plans. You can see those listed out on page 25 of the work plan. Again, I'd like to just remind everybody that we're still at a very early stage in this process. While, again, we've been awarded the initial letter inviting us to the second part of this process, we still do not have the money in hand. We still do not have an official award yet. So going forward, we will be working with our consultants and we will be working with the community on community engagement and through various meetings. There will be website updates so that people are available and able to just click on a link and be able to be aware of what's going on in the community as far as this program goes. With that, if there's any questions.
Councilman Coleman.
What would prevent this award being, the money's being awarded to us?
At this point, having worked with the EPA caseworker on how this needed to be fleshed out and everything, we should not have any problems moving forward on that. The initial concern was identifying a few activities that we had proposed in the initial application that were not eligible under this program. That being specifically the creation of a program to do the lead abatement or asbestos abatement in cabanas, and also to do a community health impact assessment on a suspected cancer cluster to identify that. However, the way that was presented in the plan initially in the initial application was not an eligible activity for this particular grant. So we have removed those items, and we should be clear to move forward.
Okay, thank you.
If I can just build on that, I think when he says it's not official, we haven't signed a grant agreement. So we're kind of in the process where we're working with the AEDC on what the program will be, because then all those particulars will be in that grant agreement. So, you know, it's an actual document that this
so
is what we will be doing.
So you just got a little cleanup from the initial
correct. Exactly.
grant application mm-hmm. that they say, nah, this change this, change that. And
exactly.
And we'll be good. Okay, thank you.
Councilman Bell?
This Brownsfield grant, you're saying that this is just cleaning up some of the language from the original grant. Is there money already allocated for these grants, or is this something that they say, hey, we're going to get this money for you, and then they go to Congress or whatever through their budget and find the money here?
It's already allocated. It's not one of those NOFAs where you got to do it all, and then the award comes a year later, and then the rules come after that. And this is a program that's been running for years. I've done some of these in Ohio before I came out here. As some of them have changed, one of the things that I think we didn't just mention is we've had the Q Tribe is doing grant work with our trilateral agreement. We had a meeting on the phone with both the Q Tribe representatives as well as OC. Obviously, OC is one of our big landowners, and a lot of these things are out there. So we're coordinating with them, and they're also looking what they can build on, or they have other grants that leverage these, and they kind of all go together. So that's where we're at with that, but it's really at the beginning of the process for us.
Okay, and having worked with some of these before, I'm sure it's impossible to give an accurate timeline, but historically, does it take a few years to identify these sites that need cleanup, and then someone has to go search for the money for or grants or to do some of these projects?
I think that's part of the process. It depends on what exactly is identified. I mean, some of these sites may have already had a phase one, which means that's a lot of the paper review historically, what's going on there. As Thomas said, anecdotally, we think there's things here or there. Has there really been work done to what's available on paper? And then the second thing would be the phase two, which would, if they're going to check for different types of contaminants, and what is it? Is it petroleum? Is it, what are we going to focus on? And then depending on those outcomes, we'll open up to what avenues or venues that we can move forward with, and you kind of have to build your calendar around that. This particular grant is good for 4 years. So I think it starts in October, so we're not even there to where we're ready to do a drawdown. But I'm sending Thomas to the conference this end of this week. They have a conference like every 2 years, and that grant also covers the amount of money to go for the registration and the hotel and travel. And it's really a good thing to go there and see what the other communities are doing. I think, and Chris is on the line, he could probably speak to this best because we know he was Region 10 rep. But I remember years ago, there was a big issue, and it wasn't so big for the Midwest, with FUDs. We didn't have a lot of formerly used, defense sites. But out here, we know we do. And I think they've learned to kind of pair these programs together better. I think that's kindly why you haven't seen this program out here used a lot. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess one last question.
Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem and council members, heretofore there hasn't been money available for mitigation. What we're talking about with this grant is just the assessment of the problem. But now the EPA has money. But I believe that the headquarters is developing the the regulations or whatever, how this is all going to go down, or how you're going to the notice of federal funding availability and how they're going to move forward with it could take months. I can check with the folks I know down at Region 10. But right now, this is just for the assessment. And that's always been the big issue with this program is, well, there's great, there's money available. And typically in the past, you would get money from Brownsfield, but it'd be only enough to maybe do 10 or 20% of the assessment as well. So it's good that there's more money available. We'll just have to keep you informed. We keep moving forward with the assessment. Hopefully within 6 months, we'll know how to apply for the rest of the money and keep moving forward. Thank you. Over back to you.
So for this application, the maximum we can get is allocated for here is about $500,000.
That is correct, yes.
That's correct. And it got to be spent within a matter of 4 years. Is that
also correct? Four, yes. Years.
You can, but if you gonna need, if you can get the job done in 2 years, they probably are they gonna give the whole money up front when they do this kind of.
This is a process. I mean, we're working, fortunately, compared to other communities, we probably don't have as many landowners, you know, as, say, an urban area, and you have to work with numerous landowners to get access agreements so that you have to have permission to go on and do testing, et cetera. So since a lot of these are city-owned sites and possibly OC sites, we're not working with a variety of landowners, and as long as we're all partnering on this, I think that will help expedite the process. But, you know, I think we certainly want to be good stewards of the grant, show progress so that if we indeed continue with another grant to look for sources, we want to have a good standing with them and show that we're progressing and doing what the grant is for. And that's about all I can say at this point.
What I'm saying is we can get it faster and then we can apply for another grant for more money. But instead of doing 4 years, if we can do it in 2 years, especially working with OC, you know, between the city and OC, it's pretty much 80% of the property is it's pretty much there. So, and a lot of it that need to be cleaned up are pretty much on the OC and city.
I don't believe we're ineligible for applying for other grants that could be paired with this at the same time. It wouldn't be the same, I don't think. But, for example, if another entity here was able to partner with us, we could help leverage theirs. And I haven't looked into that, if that's changed since the last one I've administered. But, you know, there's all sorts of venues for this. And by getting this grant, being the only community in Alaska at this point to have one, I think it tells me there's a good focus and there's concern and obviously a need.
Thank you.
So if this is a grant over 4 years, there's a few times where over a four-year period, you get a certain amount per year, so that it does extend over the 4 years. Is there a certain amount per year? Like, is it, if it's $500,000, is it $125,000 per year? Or could you use up the $500,000 in 1 year, like what Bong was talking about? Because a lot of them are, you get a certain amount per year over a four-year period. And I don't know if that's the case here.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, this is Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, as long as you've got the money obligated, I'm pretty sure we could. If we can't get this money obligated in 4 years, I'll eat my hat.
I'm sure we could probably use it up in 1 year, but I'm just wondering if there is a cap per year. Some grants, it's a four-year grant, but you are only allowed a certain amount per year. And that was what I was wondering.
Good. Council Member Luby, I'm not aware of that, any sort of cap. They're just concerned that you keep moving forward.
Okay, and then my next question is, you know, you mentioned the tribe. They also have Brownsfield grants. And so are we working with them to pair up with them and kind of combine the money to get this taken care of?
Well, we can't use the word we can't use the word combine the money, but we can focus our efforts together. And that was the initial meeting that we had about it. I honestly admit to a foible. I thought they were aware that we applied, and apparently they weren't until it was announced at a meeting. So they were, you know, a little perturbed about that, and I don't blame them. But you know, we'll get back. We haven't really applied for a lot of grants before. And honestly, the consultant Stantec did a great job. They prepared this. The development agreement didn't cost us anything. They did it, and it's kind of a dual process. Then they bid for the project, and kind of all in that procurement. So they, by winning the grant for us, have kind of already been selected to do that work. So.
And if I could just add additionally, there are multi-jurisdictional brownfields assessment grants in previous years. This year it was specifically set out for municipalities. It was not set out to be a multi-jurisdictional program. So it was very much a siloed kind of process compared to past years.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, and if we can work with the tribe, it's great. They have, you know, they're a good partner to have. So thanks.
Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you. One of the things that I see here is that a lot of this stuff was caused during World War II and stuff. I'm just surprised that we're not getting any type of assistance for cleaning up a mess that was kind of made by other people. So can you enlighten me on that one, please?
So I've been working with the FUDS group as well during this process. The one big takeaway that I've received from FUDS and through the FUDS program is that they will deal with primarily fuel spills or kind of chemical contaminants that are directly related to an action of war. Now, we're in the middle of a process. You'll see in the application, Building 551 is mentioned. That is the release of petroleum from the oil tanks that were across the street from the powerhouse that were historically there. They opened up the tanks and they let it flow because they knew they were about to be bombed. Currently, that is a fight between ADEC and the FUDS program and the Corps over who's responsible for that cleanup, because whether or not somebody's responsible or not depends on whether or not a bomb hit it, apparently, and we're going to continue to let them fight that out. DEC actually asked us to stay out of that one. So when it comes to a lot of this potential contaminants, unfortunately, they're just not eligible underneath the FUDS program, which is why we get we have these kind of lingering situations here that we are now getting the help in order to be able to work towards. And then, like I said, and as we mentioned before, this is the first step. These phase ones and phase twos and these redevelopment plans are that first step. And then after 4 years, typically there's a secondary grant that's set up, and that is for the actual abatement programs. That's how they've done it in the past. How things are going in the future, I mean, it's anybody's guess right now, but that's kind of the way the calendar for these typically works out.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure that we're moving forward in this. This is something that should be, you know, taken care of, especially, you know, asbestos, all the stuff in the houses, all the lead paints. That's, you know, that's bad for people's health. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem.
Go ahead, City Manager.
Yeah, thank you. So, working with the FUDS program in Unalaska since 2001, and I know previous city managers have too, this is actually first time with Senator Murkowski coming on the 23rd, there is some momentum towards maybe getting the federal government to actually do something on these acts of lands. That's the purpose of her visit on the 23rd. But also, it's very frustrating from working with the federal government on anything on a Mackinac Island. And when we had to remove the PCBs from the current powerhouse site prior to building
the new powerhouse, we had to sue the federal government because they did not have any funding available for PCB cleanups. And, you know, Alaska has some capacity, had the money to sue them, and it is very frustrating to go through several years of lawsuit with the Department of Justice, and we did get a settlement of $1.5 million. Of the total $2.5 million it cost to clean up that postage stamp site. So for those of you who are new to the FUDS slash federal government process, it can be very frustrating. But I have to tell you, it's very good news that Senator Murkowski is responding and that she will be in Alaska on the 23rd to hold a quote-unquote a field hearing on the topic of contamination on Penkska properties. So I worked on this when I was the regional administrator for EPA, trying to raise awareness of it. I know Jason Bruni has for DEC, so we have to keep pushing to make this happen. But this Brownfields grant, I can tell you from, I was basically the head administrator for the Brownfields program, it's pretty huge that you got $500,000, and the only one in the state to get it. So back to you.
Anybody else want to speak? Mr. Mayor, do you want to speak on this one?
So I have the same thing that the city manager said regarding this meeting on coming up on the 23rd. And it's been almost 15, 20 years that I've been involved because of OC owning properties that we could not develop because of contamination of PCB and asbestos. So having this program, an assessment, it's a great news. It's a start, and that's where we got to go. We got to do an assessment, follow the process and requirements. It's a 4 to 10 year period before you actually see cleanup done. That's just the reality of the federal government and the FUDS program. But I really support the efforts that our staff is doing and working with the trilateral to get the information needed to move this process ahead. So I think it's great. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Now we'll receive a public comment. 3 minutes per person. Does anyone present wish to speak? Hearing none, City Clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or the phone wish to speak?
No written comments, sir, and nobody indicated they wanted to speak.
Hearing none, we'll move to our regular session. Can I request a motion and a second to return to a regular session?
A point of order, isn't that the consent agenda or no? Is that next?
Yeah.
That's next after the motion, after the work session.
I'll move to return to a regular session.
Second.
Hearing no objection, we're back in a regular session. Next item is the consent agenda, on which there are three items listed. Absent a request from council to move one or more items to regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda are adopted without discussion in a single vote. The titles of the consent agenda items are Ordinance 2022-12, second reading, approving a zoning amendment from holding zone to marine dependent industrial on lot 2, USS 8449, LFS Captain's Bay. Second one is ordinance 2022-13, second reading, approving a zoning amendment from unzoned tidelands to developable tidelands district 1.156 acres adjacent to Track A, ATS 1360, tidelands area. And the third one is ordinance 2022-15, second reading, authorizing the city manager to dispose of personal property, specifically a 1997 Pearl Saber aerial apparatus, to an Alaska Municipal Corporation or agency thereof. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Hearing no objection, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
With this vote, Council has adopted Ordinance 2022-12, 2022-13, and 2022-15 are adopted. We'll move to the next agenda. We are now at the regular agenda. Person wishing to speak on a regular agenda item must sign up with the clerk. 3 minutes time limit per person. First on the agenda is Ordinance 2022-14, second reading, creating amendment number 1 to the fiscal year 2023 budget, appropriating $647,220 from the general fund for an increase to the public library improvement project. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, to adopt the ordinance 2022-14?
I'll move to adopt Ordinance 2022-14.
Second.
I will turn it over to the city manager to introduce.
Sorry about that. So the budget amendment for this is due to some unforeseen work that needed to be done because of the roofing that once we started the project, we have a contingency. I think we discussed this before. However, this budget amendment without it would take up the entire contingency. And based on our discussions, we don't know what other unforeseen items might come. So we'd really rather just pursue a budget amendment this time and then maintain that contingency, which through the CMMP project is typically about 30% of the project. It'll stay. And if it's not used, then it folds back in to the general fund. So that's the reason that we're pursuing this budget amendment in this at this time.
Discussion. Councilman Bell.
The only comment, and I will vote in favor of this ordinance, is the budget amendment also increases the dollar amount in the contingency by two. I think it's 280 or some amount, and moving forward with this project, I just note I'll keep an eye on how we use that contingency money. So it just seems irregular to make a budget amendment and then increase the contingency in the budget for the whole project. So thank you.
Any other council? Mr. Mayor, you got anything to add on?
No, I don't, other than this is a roof replacement that was found we're in the process of expanding the new section of the library. It became apparent, and that roof needs to be replaced before we have a hurricane-type wind that will tear the roof off. I know Councilman Bell talked about other costs that may come forward. We won't know that. My understanding is that the amount we push forward is the amount for materials and finishing that job. Like any other contract, it'll be monitored very closely because of controversial issues regarding that whole project. So we're going to complete it and get the library opened up in a safe facility. Thanks.
City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Can, without anybody signing up, can we have a roll call vote on Ordinance 2022-14, second reading?
Certainly. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes. With 5 yes vote and no nay, Council has adopted Ordinance 2022-14. The last item on the regular agenda is Resolution 2022-36, approving the Unalaska Senior Citizen to retain and reallocate an expended FY 2022 community support grant funds for the purchase of a vehicle in FY 23. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2022-36?
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 2022-36.
Second.
Mr. City Manager, to introduce, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. This is, as you know, every year at the end of our fiscal year in our community support grant program, if there are funds residual, they're supposed to be returned to the city. This $9,100 that they have left over from their meals and food delivery and nutrition program, they want to put it towards the purchase of a smaller vehicle because they run a lot of smaller trips instead of running their large passenger van around with one or two people. And you, as a body of council, have seemed to always support some of these retention and reuse requests, and staff is recommending approval.
Discussion? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I just want to say I'll support this resolution, and I want to thank the Senior Center for following, you know, this part of the rules and the process of these grants. And it does make a difference when we look at the grants when we go through that approval process. So I will be in support of it. Thank you.
I will be in support of it too. It's a kind of waste of gas when you travel one or two seniors on that big bus that they have. I think a smaller vehicle with a lower where they can step on and in and out pretty easy, it makes more sense for them. So I'll be in full support of this thing. Councilman Coleman?
You may not know the answer here, but do they plan to retain the large bus? And are they going to liquidate that asset? And then what do you do with the money there?
I didn't ask. The way it was presented, they wanted an additional vehicle, so I'm presuming they're going to retain it, but I don't know for sure. I should say we're not going to find a vehicle for $9,100 either, so this is kind of match along with some money they're getting from the state of Alaska. I was remiss in pointing that out. So they have a grant that they're receiving for that. So
okay,
I can find out if you'd like.
I probably see it in the next grant, but I was just curious. Thank you.
City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide a public comment?
No, sir, but I see someone with a number who may want to speak to this item. I have a phone number in here who has unmuted themselves. So if you could introduce and if you wanted to speak.
Whoever's on the line, you got 3 minutes to speak. Yeah.
This is Kelly with the Unalaska Senior Citizens. Good evening, everybody. I heard that there was a question in regards to moving the money over, but the question cut out. And I'm here to answer them.
Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. My question was, are you going to retain the large 12-passenger bus, or is that going to be liquidated after you get the smaller one?
At this time, we're planning on retaining it.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Kelly. Anybody else online or Zoom?
No, sir.
So now, can we have a roll call vote on resolution 2022-36?
Yes, sir. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
With a vote of 5 yes and no nay, Council has adopted Resolution 2022-36. Next on the agenda is community input and announcement. This is a final opportunity to provide information to Council or to make announcement. 3-minute time limit applies. Are there any further announcements?
Hi, Lynn Crane from USAFE. I mentioned this at the last meeting, and I'll probably mention it for the next couple of meetings. We're having our Make a Difference dinner for suicide prevention and awareness on September 23rd, and get a really good turnout among young people in the community for this event. It would be really nice to see some of our community leadership there. So look for more details around town between now and then. Thank you.
Mr. City Manager.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, this might sound a little peculiar coming from the acting city manager, really their planning director, but we also live here on the island. And I'm not sure if all of you have had the same experience that I've had the last week on, I want to say, Tuesday, August 2nd. You know, we partner and do a lot of great work with our telecom companies, but I can't even tell you how long it seems to me the GCI was down. And from what I could gather, the entire island had no service. And, you know, when that's down, you can't use Nixel because no one's going to get a notice why it's down. I don't really know if I wanted to make sure that have we ever had this problem in the past that we maybe use KUCB to, like, on the radio say, hey, it'd be nice to know if it's going to go down more than an hour. Someone could say we're having a tower problem. It's going to be 4 hours. Or I'm not really sure how or maybe the council even wants to address it, but most people on the island are using cell phones and landlines. And if you have a landline and you're trying to call someone, they probably have a cell phone. So I found it, I was in a situation where I was trying to communicate off island and even my landline didn't work. So I came to City Hall. I don't know how other people have that ability. So I'm not really sure if that's been addressed. I hate calling it into question, but when it's several hours and you have no phone service and there's no answer, and it's been a couple of times now, some just an hour or two, but I think that one was, the length of time was 4 hours or more. And I'm not sure, I think from everyone I talked to, it was area-wide. It wasn't just like in my town, my part of town. So I just thought I'd bring that up as I see some council, your next thing, council directives, if you want to ask us to look into anything or ask anything, now would be probably the best time to mention it. So I just want to bring that to your attention.
Any other community input or announcement? Hearing none, we'll move to the council directive to the city manager. Hearing none. Can I have a motion in a second to go into an executive session?
I move to go into an executive session to discuss candidates for the city manager, a matter which, if discussed in public, may harm the reputation of one or more of the candidates. Present in the executive session will be the mayor, the interim city manager, by telephone conference call, HR manager Amy Stanford, and council members physically present in chambers.
Second.
If there are any directives, I need a second and a roll call vote, please. So, session.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes. So, we are going into an executive session at 7:06.